story to her editor. You, me, Hope. Us? What kind of story? Three women, three friends, one who runs a bookstore, one who runs a restaurant, soon two, and one who runs the B&B. I don't want to wear a saucy apron. Saucy as in sauce or saucy as in French maid? Guess. Smirking, Avery pointed at her stained apron. We'd have more warning, right? Not have a 4 minute from naked face to camera face deal again? Much more. If it flies, we'd coordinate the day and time. It'd be good promotion for all of us. Still, I don't know how Hope does it. She walked one of the reporters down to the bookstore. She looked perfect. Perfect and relaxed. I can't wait to see how the whole thing comes out on the news tonight, then in the paper. Beckett's picking up the kids from school, or has by now. He said they needed some man time. Everything in Avery went soft. You struck gold there, Claire. A mountain of it. I was also ordered to pick up Vesta spaghetti and meatballs. Manly portions. We can help you with that. I'm going to need help with more soon. After the opening, I'll only have 2 months before the wedding. I know we're not doing a huge bash, but everything has to be wonderful. Starting with the dresses, mine, yours, and Hope's. We'll take a day. Name it. I'll make it work. Thursdays are best right now, as soon after the opening as possible. I need to check with Hope. I could shift some things and do a Wednesday if that's better. Either way, I can make it work. I've talked with Carol at Mountainside about the flowers. That's pretty much set. I haven't talked to you about food. Why don't you leave that to me? I'll put something together. Then you can adjust, change, eliminate, or add. I can give you the launch pad. That takes a weight off. Thanks. Leaning forward, smile brilliant, Claire took her friend's hands. I'm getting married, Avery.
I've heard rumors.
Everything's moving so fast. Do you remember when they first started work on the inn? It seemed like forever. Now it's finished, about to open. I'm getting married. Beckett's finishing the house. I'm looking at tile and faucets and lighting fixtures.
Are you nervous?
No, not nervous. A little overwhelmed here and there. Marriage, a new home, and if things go as we hope, a new baby on the way in a few months.
It all looks really good on you.
It all feels really good. Are you nervous?
About what?
You and Owen? No. No, not exactly nervous. But maybe, yeah, maybe a little overwhelmed here and there, too. One minute I think, sure, of course. Then the next it's, what? Where did this come from, and what do I do with it?
She propped her chin on her fist.
Then it's back to, of course. We've been friends since we were kids, and now we're looking at each other in a new way. That's a little overwhelming, but maybe that's good. Otherwise, maybe it would be too easy for that, of course, to turn into, so what? Before she sat back again, Claire gave Avery's hand a quick squeeze. You think you're careless with people. I don't know where that comes from. I've known you a long time, and you've never been careless with people. We were friendly in high school. We ran in different crowds, even though we co-captained the cheerleading squad. Go Warriors! Go Warriors! But when I came back home after Clint was killed, you were right there for me. Right there, Avery. I don't know what I'd have done without you. I still don't.
This time, Avery took Claire's hand.
You'll never have to find out. The same to you. You're not the so-what type, Avery. Not with people. I've got to get back. I'll run up for the spaghetti and manly meatballs around 5. I'll send it down. Save you a trip.
Avery sat alone for another moment. She'd had enough of a break, all around, she decided, and enough worrying about what might be later rather than enjoying what was now. She pulled out her phone, texted Owen.
Off in an hour. Want to come over? Share a bottle of wine and a large pie upstairs?
She finished off her drink, rolled her tired shoulders, then smiled when he texted back. Knocking off shortly, having a beer with Rye at your place. I'll walk you home.
Yeah, you walk me home, Owen. That's what a good boyfriend does.
She got up, did a little dance in place, then went back to work. Chapter 13. From the bitterly cold morning of the opening of In Boonesboro to the teeth-chattering afternoon, Avery calculated she had run 20 miles just dashing back and forth across Main Street. She wouldn't have missed a single yard. Throughout the day, Hope and Carolee polished and primped the inn until every inch gleamed. Each time Avery ran over, more flowers graced the tables, the mantels, even the deep window sills in the dining room. Tables and chairs stood in the courtyard and on the porches, while indoors, fires simmered in hearths. At one point, Avery ran through with trays of food while Hope, in jeans and a sweatshirt, signed for delivery of the rental dishes and glassware.
"I'll be back," Avery told her. "One of my crew will bring the rest, then more as we need it. We're right on schedule. Carolee just went home to change." "I'm going to do that, but I'll be back. An hour tops."
"Take your time,"
Hope assured her in her ready, steady way.
"We're good."
"Why am I nervous? It's not my inn."
On a dash, Avery streaked out and back across the street. In 55 minutes, overnight bag in hand, feeling smug at her early readiness, she found Hope setting up a bar and wearing a killer red dress.
"You're dressed! You look amazing!"
"It's not fair. I hate you again."
"I timed it out. I didn't want to have to run up and finish putting myself together once the Montgomerys got here, which is any minute.
I was supposed to be ready first. It's annoying."
"Live with it."
Eyebrows arched under spiky black bangs, Hope gestured.
"I might point out you're wearing 2 different shoes.
"Which ones do I go with?"
Testing, Avery heel-toed it, did quick pivots.
"I can't decide. Plus the dress is wrong, isn't it? It's gray."
"It's not gray. It's moon dust.
I love the sparkle on the bodice.
Where did you get those sapphire shoes?"
"I want them. I bought them last year in a weak moment. I haven't worn them yet. I wasn't sure if..."
"Yes, you are. I'll tell you what's annoying. Your feet are a full size smaller than mine. Otherwise, I'd take you down for those shoes. I still might."
"Blue shoes it is. Can I put this stuff, including the rejected black pumps, in your place?"
"Go ahead."
"I'll be right down. Give you a hand."
She slipped out of both shoes, ran upstairs in her bare feet. She left the bag, the shoes inside Hope's door, put the blue ones back on. Since the door to the penthouse stood open, she wandered into its rarefied air. Flowers spread under the windows in the parlor stood on the floating counter in the bath, with more in the bedroom. Everything shimmered and gleamed. She couldn't imagine what the Montgomerys felt, not when she felt such pride and satisfaction and she'd only watched it evolve, and added a little elbow grease. She walked down, letting her hand trail on the iron banister. Wanting more, she walked down to Nick and Nora. She'd stay here tonight, she thought, with Owen, in that beautiful bed, with the scent of flowers, the sparkle of crystal. They'd make love here. In the crystal dark, the first ones to reach for each other in this room. She thought it a kind of magic. She turned at the sound of footsteps, smiled at Owen.
"I was just thinking about you, and there you are. And handsome, too."
So handsome in his dark suit with a tie. That magic again, almost the same color as her dress. "You keep surprising me, Avery." Her smile warmed.
"Tonight calls for some style, and we're definitely stylish. I was thinking how you and your family must feel.
It must be amazing because I feel so proud and happy, and I didn't do anything.
Yes, you did. You hauled, fed, cleaned. You helped us get Hope.
You're right, I did. And I put that sparkly floor lamp together solo.
She gave one of its drops a light flick. Her eyes sparkled nearly as brightly.
Pretty major.
I think so. I have something for you.
For me?
Something to thank you for everything you did to help us get here tonight.
A present?
On a sound of surprise, she stepped toward him.
I didn't do anything for presents, even considering lamp assembly. But I do love presents, so I'll take it. Hand it over.
He pulled the little box out of his pocket, then took the wrapping she ripped off, balled it up while she lifted the lid.
Oh. Oh, God, it's beautiful.
The little platinum key hung on a thin chain fired with tiny diamonds.
I saw it and thought, that's it. It's symbolic.
The key to In Boonesboro. Any time you want to use it.
That's beautiful, too, the thought of that. Thank you. Thank you,
she repeated, leaning in for a kiss.
I love it. My first diamonds.
Really? They're pretty puny.
No diamond is puny. I want to wear it now.
I'll help you out.
He moved behind her, working on the clasp. She reached a hand up to the little key, studying them both in the silver-framed cheval glass, then lifted a hand to the one he laid on her shoulder. She couldn't find words, not when she saw the way they looked together, reflected in the mirror. The flutter came again when his gaze met hers. Then something new, a slow, steady beat that spread out, spread through her until she felt it even in the soles of her feet.
Owen,
whatever she might have said, could have said, slipped away when she saw the shadow in the glass.
Owen,
she repeated.
Yeah, I see.
She swallowed.
What do you see?
Her. Elizabeth.
I see a shadow. A silhouette.
I see her. She's smiling, but she has tears in her eyes. She... Is she waving? That's... No, showing me her hand, her left hand. A ring. It's red. The little stone in it.
A ruby?
I don't think... It's darker, I guess.
A garnet?
Maybe, yeah, maybe. An engagement ring? In his head, he heard it, soft as a wish.
Billy.
Did you hear that?
No. I smell the honeysuckle. I see the shape of her, I guess. Or did,
Avery said when the shadow faded.
What did you hear?
She said his name again. Billy. Avery turned. A ring, an engagement ring, you said.
That's just a guess.
She showed you the ring, then you heard her say his name. I'm betting engagement ring. She and Billy were going to get married. We have to find him for her, Owen.
The urgency in her voice as she turned, gripped his arms, surprised him.
I'll do what I can.
Such a long time, Avery murmured. Such a long time to hold on.
It gave her hope, she realized. Hope that love really could matter most. Matter enough to last.
I haven't had a lot of time to try to pin it all down, which is probably why I haven't gotten anywhere yet. I'll have more after tonight. And we've got to get downstairs. We've got the ribbon-cutting thing in about 20 minutes.
I told Hope I'd be right down to help, and I got distracted.
She laid a hand on the key again.
Thank you again.
Looks good with the dress.
He brushed her shoulder absently.
Go ahead. I'll be right down.
He wanted a moment. Just another moment.
and alone walked down to Elizabeth and Darcy.
"I'm sorry. I've been busy getting ready for tonight and dealing with..."
Life seemed the wrong term.
"Things. But I promise I'll keep trying to find him. You should know, we're going to have a lot of people here tonight, wandering around, coming into the room. It's a party, okay? And after, my mother's sleeping in here. It's my mother, so I just wanted to let you know." He caught himself, shook his head. "Beckett probably already has. So it's a big night for my family, for the town. I've got to get to it."
He thought he felt something brush at his lapels, as a woman might brush a man's before going out.
Thanks, I think.
He glanced back on his way out, but saw nothing, so walked down to the lights, the voices.
After centuries of change, of war and weather, of neglect and of sweaty effort, the old hotel on the square again welcomed guests. They toured rooms that offered warmth and welcome, gathered in groups near simmering hearths, and connected with neighbors in the open kitchen. Light filled spaces dark for so long. Voices brought life to the years of silence. People walked over pretty tiles and polished wood, lounged on a sofa yellow as butter, or sipped drinks under an archway. Those brave enough to face the chill wandered out to admire the courtyard or enjoy the view from a graceful porch. Some caught the light summery drift of honeysuckle, but thought nothing of it. More than once, someone felt a brush on their shoulder, only to turn and find no one there. Twice, Owen took friends through, and found the doors to the porch and Elizabeth and Darcy open. He simply closed them while guests commented on the bed or the tile work, or the pretty stained glass shade of the lamp. "Cut it out," he said under his breath, and moved on. Later in the evening he checked again, pleased to find them closed, probably too busy partying, he thought, to play games with him. As he turned to go, Franny came in. She wore black pants and a frilly blouse rather than her usual jeans and tee, and had added a fitted black jacket.
"Hi. I brought over some more trays, and I'm taking my turn at the grand tour."
"You look nice, Franny."
"Thanks. I wanted to spruce it up a bit since I'm going back and forth." "Gosh, Owen."
Looking everywhere at once, Franny trailed her fingers over the upholstered footboard.
"It's all so beautiful. Honestly, I know how much time and work went into it, but I swear it's like a miracle."
"Thanks. We're really proud of it."
"You should be. I've only seen the rooms on this floor, and I'm already arguing with myself over my favorite."
He heard variations of that sentiment all evening, and it still made him smile.
"I do the same thing. Want me to show you around?"
"No, I'm fine on my own. It's like exploring," she said with a laugh. "And I'm loving it. And I'm running into people everywhere I go. I just saw Dick and Eve and Rourke."
"Dick the barber or Dick the banker?"
"Ha! You're funny. Dick the barber. And I saw Justine and Claire's parents in the library."
Moving past him, she stepped into the bath.
"Oh, look at the tub! It's like something out of an English novel."
"That's the idea."
"It's a great idea. I'd live in this bathroom, which I've said about every one of them so far. Don't worry about me. Get back to the party."
"It's nice to take a quick break."
"I guess it is. Since I've got you alone for a minute, I wanted to say how good it is to see you and Avery together."
Oh,
I got used to seeing you as friends. I guess everyone did. So it was a surprise. A really nice surprise."
"It was a surprise for us, too, I think."
"It's good. She deserves some happy. And you might just deserve her."
"Doing my best."
"I like your best. She matters a lot to me.
I know.
And just so you know, she walked back, tapped him on the chest. If you hurt her, I'll slip a hefty dose of laxatives in your calzone. You'll never know when.
She arched her brows, nodded.
And because you matter too, and because I'm fair, I'll do the same to her if vice versa.
Maybe, just in case, he'd stick with Yeros for a while.
You're a little scary, Franny.
Be afraid. I'm on to the next.
As she walked out, Owen caught the whisper of laughter and honeysuckle behind him.
Oh, yeah, you women are a riot.
Once again he started out, and once again stopped short. This time Willie B. filled the doorway. Owen supposed if Highland chieftains wore suits and polka-dot ties, they'd look pretty much like Willie B. McTavish.
Hey! I was sort of looking for Justine.
I heard she was in the library. Might still be. It's down the hall to the left.
Yeah, I remember.
Willie B. shuffled his feet. A sure sign he was about to address something that embarrassed him.
Since I've got you alone for a minute.
A common theme.
Sorry?
Nothing. Is something up?
A couple things.
He shuffled into the room, glanced behind him.
I thought I should tell you, you and your brothers, that Justine... She asked if I'd...
He trailed off again, looking around the room.
Here. Tonight. Stay here. You know.
Oh! Well, shit, Owen thought. He should have seen it coming.
Well,
he said and stuffed his hands in his pockets.
I understand you might feel a little, I feel a little, but, well.
Yeah. Should I ask if you, if this is... If you've got plans or something?
She means a lot to me, your ma. I loved your daddy.
I know. I know you did.
I know he'd want me to look out for her some, and I did, and... She's a hell of a woman, your ma. I got pure respect for her. I'd never do anything to hurt her. Cut off my hand first.
Okay, Willie B.
Okay.
Some of the flush receded from his face.
I'll talk to Ryder and Beckett.
I'll take care of it.
Or it'll take another hour and a half of fumbling.
If you think... Willie B. nodded, cleared his throat. You and Avery are... My Avery.
Same boat, Owen thought. Different oars. Everything you just said about my mother? Insert Avery. She's important to me. She's always been important to me.
I know that's the truth. She's always had a sweet on for you.
Oh, well, Jesus, he'd be blushing and shuffling himself in a minute.
I don't know. Maybe you don't, but I do. Just like I know she still got hurt inside over her mother, how she walked away. I want you to be careful with her, Owen. She's had other boyfriends, but you're different. You've got history and connections, and she's had that sweet ongoing. She's tough, my girl, but she's got places that bruise easy. It's easy to forget that, so... Don't. I guess that's it.
On a long, long, relieved breath, Willie B. looked around.
This place sure is the cat's ass. You did yourselves proud here. Tommy's up there busting his buttons over Justine and his boys. Busting buttons. I'd better get on.
Alone, Owen sat on the side of the bed. It was a lot, he decided. A big pile of a lot. His mother and Willie B. And here. Right here. The right here had him shooting up to his feet again with an uncomfortable glance at the bed. Probably better, all around, not to think about that.
The door to the porch eased open.
Now that you mention it, I could use some air.
He walked out, hissed a little at the cold, wished he had a beer. It looked fine, he thought, Main Street. He'd known it all his life. It changed, of course. A new business, new paint, new neighbors, kids growing up as he had himself. But it remained a constant for him. So was Avery, a constant, a kind of touchstone. She'd changed. They'd changed together, he supposed. Growing up, becoming, expanding their reach. He studied Vesta, the lights, people moving behind the glass. She'd built that. They'd provided the shell, the stone, the wood, but she'd built it into what it was. And now she'd do so again. Yeah, she was tough and smart and willing to work hard. She'd dug in when her mother had walked out, kept her head up, though he knew damn well some kids ragged on her about it. He'd had a few short words with a couple of assholes over it, he recalled. He didn't think she knew, just as he didn't think she knew that once, not long after Tracy McTavish ran off, he'd walked into the kitchen back home to see Avery crying in his mother's arms. He'd backed out again, and the next time he'd seen Avery, she'd been dry-eyed and steady. She was rarely otherwise, but Willie B. was right. There had to be places that bruised easily, and he should be careful. Other boyfriends. Other, which made him, by Willie B.'s gauge, her new boyfriend. Or current. Or... he hadn't really thought about it. To joke, sure, about being her first. Now the 1-2 punch of Franny, then Willie B. made him consider the big picture. He'd never taken her out on a date. To the movies, a concert, to dinner. He'd never bought her flowers. Okay, he bought her a present, so he got some points there. If he was keeping score, which of course he wasn't. Exactly. She usually ended up cooking for him. Sure, she liked to cook, but that wasn't right, was it? If he wanted this to be a real relationship, and he did, he had to start putting more effort into it. I haven't put any effort into it, he admitted. Major fail. Fresh start, he decided, and turned to go in. He spotted the bottle of Heineken on the table between the doors. How the hell did you do that? Though a chill ran up his spine, he picked up the bottle, took a drink. I don't know whether it's spooky or handy, but thanks. He took another drink. Now I'm standing here freezing to death drinking a beer served by a ghost and talking to myself. Shaking his head, he went back in, secured the door. He took his beer, headed downstairs to find Avery. He should have known she'd be doing something useful. He found her in the lounge, passing champagne to guests.
Where's yours? He demanded.
There you are. My what?
Champagne.
Oh, I had some. I think I set it down in the kitchen when I was switching trays.
You're not here to work.
He took the bottle, then her hand, and drew her toward the empty flutes.
You're here to enjoy yourself. And he poured her a glass of champagne.
I'm enjoying. Your hands are freezing.
I was outside for a while. Let's find a place to sit. You should get off your feet.
You need to mingle.
I've been mingling.
Now I want to sit down with you, spend some time with you.
Leaning down, he laid his lips on hers. She blinked up at him. It wasn't as if they were having a clandestine affair, but it was the first time he'd kissed her. Like that, in a public setting. New Year's, she recalled, but people traditionally kissed at midnight, so it didn't really count. She could actually feel speculative eyes on them.
Are you all right?
I'm great.
He draped an arm over her shoulders to steer her out, then toward the stairs.
How are you?
I'm absolutely fine. I just wanted to check on the...
Avery, you don't have to check on anything.
There's plenty of everything, and people are enjoying themselves. You get to relax. I don't relax at parties unless I'm doing something. My hands start itching.
Scratch them, he suggested.
Hey, Owen.
Charlie Reeder, old friend and town cop, crossed their path.
Could use a hand a minute.
What's the problem?
Your cousin, Spence. He's getting ready to go. He was pounding them back pretty good tonight. He won't give up the car keys. I tried talking to him, but he got belligerent. I don't want to have to arrest him. Maybe you can talk him down before it comes to that.
Yeah, sure. I'll be back.
It took him 20 minutes, much of which he spent with his cousin draped around him in drunken sentiment, or hee-hawing as he tried to walk a straight line to prove his competency. When he fell on his ass a third time, Spence finally gave up his keys.
I'll drive him home, Owen, Charlie told him. We've got to get going anyway. Kids are with a sitter. Charlene will follow me, and we'll pour him through his front door. Appreciate it, Charlie. All in a day's work.
He paused a moment, hands on his skinny hips as he looked over the courtyard, up to the porches.
She's a beauty. I booked a night for our anniversary next May. A surprise for Charlene.
Which room?
She seems to favor the one with the drapes on the bed and the ginormous tub.
Titania and Oberon. Good choice.
Hope talked me into the package that comes with a bottle of champagne and dinner for two and whatnot. It'll be 10 years, so we ought to do something special.
Hope will make sure it is.
Well, I'll help you get Spence into the car.
I've got it. Go ahead and get Charlene. Thanks for the assist.
Not a problem.
By the time he got back inside, the crowd had thinned out. His fresh hunt for Avery was hampered by other guests preparing to leave, stopping him with thanks for the evening, compliments on the inn, and good luck wishes. He appreciated it. He really did. But it occurred to him they'd just had their second party as a couple, where he'd spent more time without Avery than with her. And she'd spent more time serving than being served. He found her in the dining room, bussing tables.
Don't you know how to be a guest?
Not really. And I promised Hope and Carol Lee I'd help them clean up after. It's pretty much after.
It was great, Owen. Everyone had a good time, and really loved seeing the inn.
Racked up some bookings, too.
So I hear.
He took the plates from her.
Where's your champagne?
I set it down somewhere, but I drank most of it this time. I just scooted your mom up to the library. We're going to bring up a fruit and cheese tray, some crackers. Most of you didn't get much food.
Insistent, she took the plates back from him.
Go on up. I'll be up there soon. I'll finish up with Hope. Then I have to get my bag out of her apartment.
I'll get it. Where is it?
Just inside the door, but her apartment's locked.
I'll get the key.
He got her bag, put a bottle of champagne in an ice bucket, added 2 flutes and pocketed the key to Nick and Nora. After setting the ice bucket in his room for the night, he found his family, including Claire's parents, sprawled in the library and already diving into food trays.
I didn't think I was hungry till right now.
Justine grabbed some crackers.
There's my missing son.
Spence, he said. Car keys. It took some persuading.
You should have found me,
Justine told him.
Spence listens to me.
It's all good.
He realized he hadn't had much to eat, just as Avery had suggested, and took a handful of olives before sitting on the floor.
They came, they saw, we conquered.
And then some,
Beckett agreed, snuggled with Claire on the sofa they shared with his mother and Willie B.
It's really done, Justine sighed. When I think of the past 2 years. Would you do it again?
Claire's mom, Rosie, asked her.
Don't give her any ideas.
Ryder cast his eyes to the ceiling.
I wouldn't, not this. This was a once-in-a-lifetime.
Thank you, God.
But she laughed as she booted Ryder's foot.
I have other ideas for later. For tonight? She lifted her glass. Here's to my boys, Ryder, Owen, and Beckett. You made my dream come true.
Ryder reached over, laid a hand on hers.
You dream good, he said after a moment. Just do me a favor and sleep quiet for a while.
From the gleam in her eye as she sipped her champagne, Owen suspected she already had another dream going.
Chapter 14. Good nights came late and lazily. Avery calculated Justine and her father had some sort of signal to make the sleeping arrangements a bit less awkward for their children, or at least the male children, she thought, as she didn't feel awkward at all. Her father lumbered out while Justine remained. A few minutes later, Justine wished them all sweet dreams. By tacit agreement, no one mentioned the fact Justine and Willie B. were spending the night together just down the hall. Maybe, if she thought about it, the fact she and Owen would be spending the night together at the other end of that same hall, awkwardness, or more likely amusement in her case, would ensue. So she didn't think about it. Instead, inside the deco flare of Nick and Nora, Avery stretched her arms high. Everything felt good, she decided. Everything felt just exactly right. To please herself, she turned in a circle to take in the room and saw the champagne on ice.
You copped a bottle!
Hey, I prefer the term liberated. On her grin, he walked over to pop the cork.
This is like dreamscape or some beautifully produced play, and I get a starring role. A beautiful and downright snazzy room after a lovely happy party with champagne provided by a sexy guy. I'd check my list if I had one, but I think I currently have it all.
He offered her a glass. Now you do.
To having it all, then.
She tapped her glass to his, sipped as she wandered.
It really went well, didn't it? She said to Owen. Lots of happy faces. Lots of happy talk.
All of that. And you had to see and hear most of it. You seemed to be everywhere at once.
I can't sit still at a party.
She set the shoes she carried beside the dresser.
Gotta keep moving or I might miss something. You disappeared for a while.
He took off the tie he'd already loosened.
I toured some people through, then had to close the doors in E&D.
Elizabeth was all over tonight, too. I caught her scent several times.
I ran into your father up there. He wanted to let me know he'd be staying there, he and Mom, in E&D, together.
She leaned back on the dresser, eyeing him as she drank champagne.
I suspected as much. And how did that go?
He fumbled around a lot, like he does, and still managed to say all the right things. Meanwhile, I fought a desperate battle to keep any and all imagery out of my brain. We both did okay.
That's good, I think.
Then he pinned me about you.
He... what?
No amused smirk now, Owen noted.
No fumbling there. He's a lot more on point when it comes to his little girl.
Well, for God's sake, she began, then tilted her head. On second thought, it's kind of sweet. And funny. How'd that go for you?
He pulled off his shoes, set them beside hers.
It was a little strange. A little illuminating.
Really?
Enjoying the idea of it, she sipped more champagne.
What did he say?
That's between us men.
She rolled her eyes.
You're his Avery, Owen said as he crossed to her. The most important thing in his life. I'd say the center of his life. You're important to me, too.
She smiled,
It's nice to be important.
You are. He set his glass down, laid his hands on her shoulders, ran them down to her elbows and back. Maybe I haven't told you or shown you. He looked so serious, those blue eyes more intense than quiet. She found herself just a little off balance.
We go back. We know we're important to each other.
We go back, he agreed, and laid his lips softly, very softly on hers. But this is now, and this is different. She tipped her head back a bit more.
There is that.
Not just that, he thought, as he slowly deepened the kiss. He wasn't sure what, wasn't sure of the all, but it was more than heat generated and needs met. He felt her slide into it, little by little, and knew, at that moment, he wanted exactly that. A long, slow slide. He took the glass from her hand, set it beside his. It always surprised him how soft she was. Lips, skin. Everything about her was so bright, so vivid. Yet the soft played its part. And her heart. A softness there, too. He'd known it, always known it, but he needed to pay more attention to those soft places. I love how you feel, he murmured. Your skin, your mouth, and how what you feel inside shows in your eyes. She braced the heels of her hands on the dresser at her back.
Right now, I'm feeling dazzled.
Good. Then I'm not alone. He framed her face and kept the kiss soft as her skin, tender as her heart, and lifted her into his arms. The breath caught in her throat. She'd expected fun, maybe even foolish. Instead, he swept her away, made her feel weak and trembly, and a little unsure.
Owen,
your hands are so small. He laid her on the bed, then lifted one of her hands to press the palm to his. They look delicate, but they're tireless. That's the surprise of you. Then there's your shoulders. He nudged a strap aside. The skin's so smooth and pale, but they're strong. They'll hold a lot. Lowering his head, he glided his lips over her shoulder, down the line of her throat. The glitter of the room, the fragrance of flowers, and his hands on her, feather light. Everything in her surrendered to him, to the moment, to this new gift as unexpected as the sparkling key around her neck. He gave her the slow, the quiet, the achingly tender. No one had ever touched her. Not quite like this. Or made her feel precious. He eased the dress down, gliding his lips over newly exposed flesh, making it quiver, making her sigh. He watched the way the light played in her eyes before she closed them, the way her body moved under his hands and mouth, and felt the way her heart beat under them, thickly. Then faster when he guided her up, as he urged her higher. She clutched at him, riding that crest, until the wave broke and her hand slid away to lie limp. Like that, he thought, as he undressed. Like that. Open, exposed, drenched in pleasure. He took her mouth again first, drowning her in the kiss as his hand slid down, down to cup her, to tease a moan from her.
and slipped into her, into hot, wet silk. Now he trembled, steeped in her, trembled in the quick, desperate wanting of her. But he gave her long, slow strokes, torturous, glorious. He gripped her hands, linking them as beat followed beat. The air thickened, seemed to pulse like a heartbeat. He saw her face, only her face, as he said her name, or perhaps only thought it. But her eyes opened, locked on his, hands and bodies joined. He lowered his lips to hers, complete as they took that long, slow slide off the edge together. In the morning, in the quiet, he watched her sleep. It was so rare to see her still. He thought back to the planning stages of the inn, the debates, adjustments, countless meetings, and through the months of the long build. He'd never imagined he'd spend his first night here with Avery sleeping beside him. Now it was done. The inn, that first night. Another build underway, another plan, and here she was, sleeping deep, her hair a bold streak against the snowy pillow. What happened next? He planned, anticipated, calculated. It's what he did in his life, in his work. But he couldn't quite formulate a plan where Avery was concerned. Couldn't see his way clear to anticipate the next step, calculate the next move. It seemed strange. They knew each other so well. Shouldn't the next step, the next move, come easily? Maybe it would, he considered. So why worry? He slipped out of bed, a little surprised when she didn't stir. He eased the door of the bathroom closed, studied the glass shower with pleasure. "Let's give you a spin, baby," he murmured. He tested out the jets, the rain head, and, sniffing at the green tea and ginger shower gel, decided with considerable relief it wasn't too girly. By the time he reached for one of the fluffy bath sheets, he was awake, alert, and decided he needed coffee, pretty much now. Shaving could definitely wait. He pulled on jeans, tossed a flannel shirt over a thermal. He decided against the work boots, too noisy on the stairs, and settled on socks. And still, Avery didn't stir. He slipped out of the room, headed downstairs, and didn't hear a sound until he turned toward the kitchen. From there, he followed the scents and the murmur of female voices.
"Good morning, sweetie."
Bright-eyed and busy, his aunt offered him a welcoming smile as she set bacon to drain.
"Coffee?"
"Name your price."
She puckered her lips, took his quick kiss before reaching for the pot.
"What's this?"
he asked, gesturing toward the white chef's coats both she and Hope wore.
"We thought it presented a clean look," Hope told him. "A little more upscale than aprons."
"I like."
With the speed of experience, he snatched a slice of bacon before Carolee could slap his hand away. She pointed at him.
"No filching. Breakfast starts in a half hour."
"But there's bacon now. How'd you like the penthouse?"
"I felt like a queen. I was so damn tired. But I just had to wander all over, sit on every chair a while."
She shook her head, laughing at herself.
"I kept thinking it was like a dream. I remember when Justine and I picked out those fabrics. And there I was, sitting on them." "How'd you like your room?" Hope asked him.
"It was great. Made me wish I'd worn a fedora. I think everybody must have settled right in once we called it a night. And everybody must still be settled right in, because I didn't hear anyone moving around when I came down."
"Guests are allowed to sleep in. But if you're hungry, we can fix you up pretty quick."
I'm okay. But he grabbed another slice of bacon while his aunt had her back turned. Maybe I'll take some coffee up to Avery.
Aren't you sweet?
Then Carol Lee narrowed her eyes when he bit into the second slice of bacon.
And sneaky.
Hope poured the coffee, doctored it Avery's way.
Tell her to take her time. That's what chafing dishes are for.
He went back up, slipped back inside. She'd stirred, he noted, enough to stretch diagonally across the bed. There may not be a lot of her, he mused, but given the chance, she could fill the best part of a bed all on her own. He sat on the corner, leaned down and kissed her cheek. When that didn't work, he brushed a hand up and down her arm. Giving up on the gentle awakening, he pinched her.
What? Ow! Huh?
I wanted to be sure you were still alive.
I was...
Shifting a little, she rubbed her fingers over glassy eyes.
In a hairy dream.
A what?
Claire's hairy. He has these weird, vivid dreams. I had a hairy dream about green giraffes with red splotches. It sounds Christmassy and cheerful, but no. I was on one in this stampede and dressed like Lady Gaga. I think. Is that coffee?
Yeah.
I think you need it. Thanks. And the animal crackers monkey was on one, chasing me. He had teeth.
Does that happen often?
No, thank God. But we drank all that champagne last night. After,
she added with a sleepy smile.
It may have played into it. You're all dressed. What time?
Her eyes popped wide now as she scanned the clock.
Shit, it's almost 8.
Shocking.
I was going to be up by 7 to help Hope and Carolee with breakfast.
They've got it handled. Relax. He squeezed in beside her, bumped her over a bit more, then picked up the remote. Watch this. He switched on the TV. We can kick back right here, drink coffee, and check out what's happening in the world.
I've heard of this concept.
She settled back on the pillows beside him, sipped her coffee.
I like it. It's nice.
Yeah. He draped an arm around her so they sat hip to hip. It is.
Is everyone up?
No one's up. She relaxed a little more.
Then I don't have to feel guilty. It's like a mini vacation.
A morning vacation?
It works for me.
The idea of it inspired another.
Why don't we extend it? Want to go to a movie tonight? Oh...
She angled her face up to his.
I'm closing tonight.
Tomorrow, then.
Is there something you want to see?
We'll find something.
No slasher flicks. Or anything with monkeys.
I can work with that.
Why don't I pick you up about 6? We'll get something to eat first.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah, he thought. It did. And as a next step, next move... Not bad. Thinking spring, in the bitter entrance of February, Avery sat in the back of Hope's car, using her phone to search for wedding dresses.
I'm worried I left this too late, Claire fretted in the front seat. We should have done this before the holidays. Plenty of time, Hope assured her. This is a wonderful boutique, and if you don't find just what you want there, I have 2 more.
Not white. My dress shouldn't be white.
Every bride's entitled to white, Hope corrected. But more, every bride's entitled to whatever color, whatever style, whatever wedding dress suits her. Don't go into this with limitations.
We should have stuck with the idea of a small family-only afternoon wedding, but
Beckett hasn't done this before.
While she searched and scrolled, Avery listed the reasons Claire had already laid out.
The boys are excited. You want something special and memorable for you and Beckett. You have the perfect venue with the inn. Need more?
No.
Claire glanced over her shoulder.
Have you found anything? Sorry, I keep getting distracted by the big white dresses. I mean, look at this. It's art.
She offered the screen to Claire.
Gorgeous for a first wedding, and one with an unlimited budget. God, look at that train, and the beadwork on the skirt. Miles of skirt. I love it, but I could never pull that off.
Avery shook her head.
I'd drown in a dress that big.
Hope flicked a glance in the rear view.
Is there something we should know?
I'm short.
About you and Owen? And wedding dresses?
About...
No!
Avery took the phone back, gave the dress one last look, then scrolled on.
It's knee-jerk for a woman to imagine herself in a wedding dress when in the wedding dress mode. But things are good?
Claire shifted, angling back.
Really good. We're both crazy busy, but we've actually managed to go out a couple times. You know, to those places where other people bring you food that yet other people have cooked. Plus, I'm trying out potential McTeese dishes on him. He's a good test subject.
Still fluttering? Hope asked her.
Yeah, still fluttering. And now there's this tugging. It's good, but it's a little unnerving.
I know, Claire said with a smile.
It's not like you and Beckett.
Why?
Because it's me and Owen, and we're... I don't know exactly. Anyway, today's about you.
We have the whole day, Claire reminded her.
Which starts now.
Hope zipped into a parking spot.
That was lucky, and I'm taking it as a good omen. The boutique's right there. Oh, look at that dress.
Claire stared at the display window and the indulgence of the sparkling pickup skirt, the shimmer of off-the-shoulder white silk.
It's stunning, but way too formal in first wedding. I don't think this is the place. I don't want...
Trust me. Hope pulled out the ignition key. Avery shoved open her door.
And even if you don't, I'm not missing a chance to play in there.
Before Claire could protest again, Avery jumped out of the car. She yanked open Claire's door, pulled her friend out.
It'll be fun.
It was. The shimmer and glow of whites, ivories, creams, yards of tulle, acres of beading. In her jeans and knee boots, Avery plopped a veil on her head, struck a pose. She looked, she decided, like she had a tulle volcano on her head. Then she whirled on Claire.
Get away from those!
The snap of the order had Claire snatching her fingers back.
But they're nice, elegant suits. You're not wearing a suit, elegant or not. Those are entirely mother of the bride and or groom. But
too sedate, along with Avery, Hope folded her arms.
Not a chance. I'm not going formal or fussy. I want simple.
Then simple you shall have. Avery nodded sagely.
The bride rules. Then,
except with those.
I really like the green one.
It's lovely, Hope agreed. If you were going to someone else's wedding, a lady's tea, a political fundraiser. With Avery, she flanked Claire and marched her way.
We should pick out your dresses first, Claire suggested. That'll give me a springboard.
Get serious. Our dresses flow from yours, not the other way. Still wearing the veil, Avery wandered into another section. Initial suggestions were deemed too fussy, too white, too club night.
Oh, not pink.
It's not pink, Avery insisted.
It's soft. It's more like a blush.
And look at the hem.
I love it,
lips pursed. Hope studied it.
The flow of that diagonal hem should hit above the knee, go to just about mid-calf. I don't know, Okay, you've got to try some on. I'm making a rule, and this is one of the try-ons,
Avery decreed.
We'll pick a few more and snag a dressing room. You're right, and I'm being a pain in the ass.